When it comes to heating up your business, it's all about making more bacon. And that requires an expert
with a particular set of skills.
You need
a Baconologist.
Building authentic connections, online networking, through social selling, relationship marketing, mindset and training.
Yeah, that's bacon.
Get ready, because we're about to fry up a sizzling success strategy. This is the Bacon Podcast with your host and business Baconologist, Brian Basilico.
It's a lot of bees, man.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. I am uber excited today. I have an incredible guest who really understands how to grow a business. And today we're going to be talking with Tommy Mello. So Tommy, man, how are you doing?
Doing good. Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
Awesome, man. Well, anyways, I like people to get to know my guests. So at one point, you were a bartender, and you kind of made people go up and down on bar stools, right? Is that kind of the gig? So now you have a business that deals with garage doors, and you help companies or people make their garage doors go up and down. So, man, how did all of this get started?
You know, it's weird. My dad was, I grew up in Michigan, and my dad had a transmission shop. So I was introduced to business when I was a young kid. And my mom and dad used to argue quite a bit about money, kind of growing up. So I just decided when I was young that I was going to probably want to be my own boss and go into business. But I learned a lot, read a lot, ended up going to school. I got a master's in business. And but what's the first thing you can do when you're a kid is landscaping. You mow lawns or shovel snow, and then that led to a small business where I do water conservation analysis for big companies like medical societies, and I'd earn their business and grew a pretty nice landscaping business. But meanwhile, I'm bartending at night and doing whatever I can to make a buck, hustling. And I got introduced to the garage door business because my roommate was working at a garage door business at the time, and I loved it. So we started a business in 2010. I bought him out, and you know, now we're soon to be in 20 states, just shy of 50 million this year with a budget to double next year. And, you know, we're pretty aggressive on growth. And I used to think revenue was really cool. Now I think profit's really cool. So, yeah, I mean, I love garage doors. It's the smile of your home, 40% of your curb appeal. And the only thing on your home, more than your kitchen or bathroom, that will deliver over 100% return on investment. So it's a good industry to be in, especially with all the crap going on these days.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So you bought this business and you obviously scaled it up. But as you're kind of growing it, as you look back, what do you think are some of the biggest mistakes that you think that you made along the way?
There was a lot of mistakes. I mean, number one, I didn't read the book, The E-Myth, which I did read it, but I should have read it the day I started the business. So The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, who I got to actually have him on my podcast about 3 months ago. He came into my building. So that was really cool to meet kind of someone that I really looked up to. But so work on the business, not in the business. Have a plan. I think now all I think about, we just crossed 300 employees. All I think about is how do I get better systems? How do I create a system? Instead of focusing on tasks, I focus on systems. So people say, well, I need to find good people. I say, I need a good recruiting formula. And then I need a good way not only to recruit, but train. And I've got manuals now. I've got 37 manuals. Each role in my company has a manual that spells out what their duties are and how they win and lose the game. My org chart, super important to understand the chain of command and who's in charge and accountability. I've got a depth chart. So when one guy's out of town, like two of my top guys are taking this week off, the company's still going to run seamlessly. I can be gone as well and it'll run fine. So I think it's a combination of reading. I go hang out with people that are uber successful, like 500 million plus. Those are the guys I surround myself with. And I'm trying to be the dumbest guy in the room. So I think that that's a big piece. And now, I mean, there's so many things that have happened. There's a really good book that we talk a lot about, finding your integrator. So I'm a visionary. My dream became a vision. Then I found an integrator, and that was a big thing. And then our CRM is a huge deal. I never used to have a really good software. This is my fifth one. We've been on it for 4 years, and I'm super happy. It's called Service Titan. But there's been a lot of things that have really helped me out down the way.
Yeah, I love that book, man. And it talks about the three core things. You have the entrepreneur, you have the manager, and you have the technician. And one of the things, especially in the contractor field, is a lot of people work for somebody else. They love getting their hands dirty, and they say, hey, you know, I could do this for myself. Why don't I open a business? And they have the technician side, but they're kind of missing the other pieces. So as you started working through this business, and I'm a firm believer in CRMs, I think that, you know, that is huge. Capturing data and using that data to grow your business is the key. So if you don't mind letting out a little bit of your secret sauce, what is it that you feel that you do different with the data that you're collecting with your CRM that has given you a competitive advantage, I would say?
You know, we've got a pretty advanced CRM. The nice thing about a good customer relationship management system is usually an open API, so we can make it do a ton of stuff. So it does everything. It's a dashboard for my KPIs. It tells me what's going on within the business. It tells me my call booking rate, my average ticket, my conversion rate, things that most people don't look at. I'm looking at 25 times a day. It tells me the follow-up tab, because I think follow-up is, last week I was on a big kick. We have a meeting every day, and all I did was talk about some of the top technicians in the company are the top because they're so good at follow-up, and you can see how much follow-up they do. I've got right now 3,700 call tracking numbers. So every single person in my company has a call tracking number, and they get credit. They actually take a piece of the revenue if they go coming through a call tracking number of theirs. Every single Valpak and Money Mailer and Clipper, each 10,000 person home zone has a separate call tracking number. Every local truck has a separate call tracking number. So I know exactly who's out there networking. I know exactly what marketing is working the best. I know the average ticket of everything. And I know there's so many things I do through there. It's our tracking of inventory. It's our review generator to get reviews on Yelp and Google and Nextdoor and Facebook. It's everything. I mean, I think the thing that we do is we live, breathe, and die by our CRM. And then we use a thing called Paylocity, where our manuals live. And Paylocity is just how people, their insurance is in there. Their write-ups are in there. Their performance improvement plans are in there. So I had a guy come in here, and he's like, dude, you showed me 14 different softwares you guys use, and I've only been here for 3 hours.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, everything these days is, it's funny because I say we're a garage door company, but we're kind of a technology company that does garage doors.
Right. So when you're getting your team oriented and you're thinking about, okay, I need to stand out in this marketplace. Obviously, there's a lot of companies that sell garage doors. I mean, you can go to Lowe's and buy a garage door. What do you think is the key competitive advantage that you bring to the table that you try to get your salespeople to focus on when they're out making sales calls that makes you stand out from all the other competition?
Well, you know, there's a few things to unpackage here. When we drive up, we spend a lot of time designing the perfect truck. It's got everything you could think of on there. There's more samples. There's more literature. We show people their before and after, how to look on their home. But overall, what we did is we made a Frankenstein of a door. I went to 7 different manufacturers, and we build the best quality door. It's kind of like when you go buy tires, there's 20,000 mile tires, 30,000. Well, the same thing exists with garage door parts. So we went to all the best, build our own custom stuff, trademarked it all. So we built something that not a lot of people could. I always say apples to apples. Yes, we can compete on price, but we sell oranges. So that's the first thing. The second thing is it really is the people. My people, they're definitely interested in doing the best thing for our customers. So how do I find my people? It's very, very, it's a long blown out system, but we do personality profiling, background checks, drug tests, ride along tests, cognitive tests, and their training is far by none the best. So first thing with me is you got to be able to have a conversation for a while and just be the gift, the gab, and genuinely care about other people. And if you can do that, then we got to find somebody that's got a good driving record, somebody that's got a good record as far as their background goes. And then they got to be consistent, show up on time, and have a smile on their face. And it's amazing. You know, I tell people, I always give this example. I've got two CSRs, pretend, CSR A, CSR B. The first one's at 90% booking rate. The second one's at a 60% booking rate, which the average in a call center is 47%. So 90 is unheard of. We're at 87, but you got 90 and 60. They each take 20 calls a day. The average ticket's $500. They both work 300 days out of the year. The one with 90 made you $1 million more than the one with 60. So the people are a big difference. And we've got a whole process. It's an 8-step. We call it our 5-star customer service process, and it's 8 steps. And I call it the 8-step process that always works. It never fails. So we've had to systematize it so that we can take somebody in and not depend on that person as much as the system to do the sales and do the conversions.
Okay. So when it comes to marketing, what do you think is giving you the best ROI today? Is it social media, email marketing, SEO? What is the one thing that's really kind of standing out to you at this time?
So I do a little bit of, you know, I'm involved in a lot of things. I've been doing marketing. Marketing's my passion. It's my number one thing. So the number one thing by far is Google. And people probably don't say this as much as I'm willing to say it, but search engine optimization is still the best investment. Getting a great website, making sure everything's on the websites, it's built correctly in WordPress, and that it's got the right content on it. And then you just got to build links. And that's what is the biggest thing. And then they've got a thing called the Google Guarantee Program. So that's a different algorithm that came out about 2 years ago. And we call it the local service ads, LSA ads. So those are the ones at the top. And then there's pay-per-click. And then there's your Google My Business page with the reviews attached to it. So there's really 4 algorithms that we're running with Google, and all 4 of those do better than anything. I always do my mailers still. I do a lot of billboards. I do a lot of TV. Radio, it depends. I go back and forth from radio and TV. Obviously, without as many people driving, radio and billboards are just not as strong right now as TV is as far as marketing. But yeah, we do a lot of email marketing, on the follow-up. We're actually getting into like voicemail blasts and text messages as long as they have opted in. I think that geofencing, as far as recruiting goes, I try to geofence my distribution centers to find other guys that might be in the garage door industry that looking to make a switch. But there's really, most of the things I focus on are direct response. Social media works. I like social media for recruiting. You know, marketing is a two-stage process. One of them is going after our customers, and one of them is going after our internal customers. And I think most people make that mistake. They think, oh, these people are just going to fall in our lap. I think every business should have a full-time internal recruiter and an internal trainer. Bare minimum one. I have 4 recruiters and 5 trainers. And because I know the difference that one great employee could do. That's why we're always writing people up that aren't performing, not just in sales, but whether it be driving, inventory management. We're documenting it. We're putting on an improvement plan. And top grading is super important. It's not like we're just letting people go all the time, but if your head's in it, we'll make it work for you. So between top grading and just growing a staff of a growing company, you know, this time next year, I want to be over 600 people. We're 300 right now. So we built a machine, and that's, you got to keep the machine running.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, what do you think is the biggest thing you've learned or the biggest challenge you've overcome during the pandemic?
You know, there's one thing that I feel like I'm definitely a dreamer, and I'm always looking at 5 years from now or 2 years from now. And one of the things that COVID has done is I've been reflecting a lot more. So I look at the day or last week and I go through the wins and losses, and I've learned to kind of zoom into the roadblocks of fast growth. For example, we just opened another location in Omaha, and I was there during the getting all everything set up with about five other people, and I just realized we're doing this all wrong. So we kind of rewrote our playbook on how we're going to open up new markets. And just the fact that it seems like everything's kind of going slower, there's a lot more things happening right now. But what I mean by slower, it seems like this year has been lasting forever. But the power to reflect, look back on it, and really see the bottlenecks and be able to drive through those, I think as a leader is a very good attribute, because very few of us, I feel like when you're in this role of a visionary, it's hard to look backwards. It's like we're always thinking, what are we going to do tomorrow? How are we going to make this company bigger? And by looking back and seeing bottlenecks, I think it's been something that has opened my eyes, and I think I've been able to kind of hindsight 2020, and you can change the future by looking in the past. And I never really knew that.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the biggest takeaway? What changes are you going to make based on what you've learned from your newfound perspective?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, none of my call center agents will ever work in the office again. They'll all work from home or wherever they want to work from. I've learned to be much more virtual. I've learned that Zoom is my friend. I'm working on a lot of programs right now for marketing and sales. Instead of going into offices, for example, a custom builder that's looking for custom wood overlay garage doors, I'd rather just get him on a Zoom call, buy him a virtual lunch from, have Uber Eats deliver it to him. And maybe him or her and their staff, and just say, all I need is 15 minutes. Well, I'll get you guys lunch, and want to hear about your business. The last 5 minutes, I'll tell you what we can do for you. And when you do that, people are like, shoot, I can give these guys 15 minutes for lunch. And just say, look, I just want an opportunity to bid the next property. We're a large enough company. We feel like we can compete, get you in the right ballpark where you need to be. We work well with others, and our quality is by far the best. So what do we need to do to earn a chance to even be able to bid your next job? And most of them will let us. And it's crazy because it's the 80-20 rule. You go after a big client, 80% of your profit usually is from your top 20% of your clients. So you pick up one of these guys. I picked one up a year ago. He spends $1 million with me a year. So can make a huge difference.
Awesome. Well, Tommy, man, you have laid out some great perspectives, and I hope my audience got something out of it. I sure did. So if people wanted to get a hold of you and learn more about your business, what is the best way for them to do that?
I wrote a book. It's called The Home Service Millionaire. If you go to homeservicemillionaire.com/free, you just pay shipping and handling. It's a 200-page hardcover book. I got a podcast, homeserviceexpert.com. So the free book is homeservicemillionaire.com/free. And, I'm on LinkedIn. That's a great way to connect. And if you got any questions, just, reach out. It's easy to find me if you go to the podcast, homeserviceexpert.com.
Awesome. Well, Tommy, man, thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing your insights and dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. I appreciate you, your time, and I look forward to getting together again soon.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate being here.
Thank you for letting us sprinkle some bacon bits into your brains. Want some more? Learn more about this podcast and our guest experts at baconpodcast.com. Have questions? Send them to askbrian@baconpodcast.com. Until next time, keep sizzling. And remember, it's all about the bacon.